Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tim, you're late.
Very late. Very, very tardy. And after spending all summer gloating about how much we graft in the summer, and there I was, couldn't get off the sunbed.
It's weird, so, you know.
I'm here now, but...
As soon as Brian Moore disappears, it's like you've taken your eye off the ball.
I should be on it more than ever.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm actually sat... So right now, I'm sat in the building that Brian Moore's Full Contact used to take place in. So.
Is that right?
Yeah, ooh. I should be on the ball with it, shouldn't I?
I wonder if there's going to be some conspiracy theories floating around about what TalkSport will do about their rugby show.
Well, you never know.
You never know.
Who knows? Do
you? Have you got some insider info, Tim?
No, but believe me, I'm trying my best. I'm knocking on the door that I need to knock on, but no.
It's Tim again, throw him a sandwich. All right, boys, let's get into this, shall we?
Yes.
Hands in, pod on three. Oh. My God.
Go on. Hands
in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. The podcast about rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Today, I am joined with the master of Virgin Radio, the builder of XFM, part-time rugby player, full-time rugby expert, Tim. How are you, Tim?
Oh, I'm wonderful now. Slightly... pinker than I was this time last week.
And of course, Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hello, JB.
Right, where shall we start, boys?
Some iTunes reviews.
Good idea.
Oh, what a great idea. Go on, then.
Chips Wilts on iTunes gave a 5-star review and said, when you're unable to ramble on about rugby down the pub, this is the next best thing, which I thought was quite a charming little review. Rugby Silver said 5 stars, but not enough on Argentinian polo. Although, believe me, I think we'll be talking about some Argentinian playboys before long. Jules in Bondi as well. Ooh. Says, when I emigrated to Sydney a couple of years ago, Egg Chasers became a lifeline back to my beloved Aviva Premiership and all the rugby banter I grew up with. During Skype catch-ups with the family, I kept recommending my dad check it out. He's now as big a fan as I am. When my parents came to Australia recently to visit, my dad handed me a gift box, and inside was my very own engraved cornerstone shaft.
Oh, awesome. Isn't that nice? Awesome.
Shout out to his dad, Howie. Shout out to Jules in Bondi. And I'd highly recommend getting hold of one of those magnificent precision engineered engraved shafts and cornerstone razors too.
Where would you get one from?
Well, if I were you, well, personally, I'd think that for the price of a pint, you could just £4, you could, on your first order, because you get a £10 discount with us,
what?
You could get not only... everything you need to have the best shave you have, just check out the reviews by GQ magazine, put them above Wilkinson, Sword and Gillette, but also get yourselves your very own engraved shaft with your initials. And that's just at cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers.
That's unbelievable. I guess you could put egg 10 at checkout as well, could you?
You could do that too.
Would that work?
It would. And do you know what? That egg 10 at checkout is definitely, we've done it enough times that it's definitely catching on, because whilst I was in Montenegro and Croatia, I've got to mention Tony, an Irishman, who I just got chatting to. So there weren't many familiar voices in Montenegro, English voices, English speaking voices, and he was one of them. So I just started chatting to him, and turned out he was a blooming listener to the podcast.
Really?
And yeah. And big listener mentioned Egg 10 at checkout, mentioned all the catchphrases, but he did say, as a Leinster fan, we've got to go easy this season on the Pro 12.
Whoops.
I think that was mainly aimed at you, Jay.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah.
Don't listen to yesterday's pod.
Yeah, do not listen to
the last 10 minutes of yesterday's pod.
No, I think that's
I heard.
That's complimentary about some of the Pro 12. By the way, in case you didn't guess, I didn't get the Pro 12 job. So, you know, safety's off now. I was going easy, but safeties are off. Actually, just so you know, I was also recognised on Saturday.
Were you?
I was, in the same manner that Tim met a fan in Montenegro. I was confronted by a guy who says, "Are you JB?" I was like, yes. But luckily he was friendly. Oh, Tim's gone. Hang on.
Sorry, JB.
Hello, Tim. Come in, Tim.
Yes, here are you, JB. Here are you, Phil.
We've had a sighting. I was sighted myself in Liverpool in the Tok H game.
Were you?
Yeah, which that was very nice, actually.
Wow.
Mm. By one of the opposition?
By one of the opposition, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, so when he came up to me right at the end, it was, you know, he's a Scouser as well, so you've got to be careful with these, you know, with these types. But no, he was one of the civilised, friendly ones.
Was this, because I missed the start of that anecdote before it decided to cut me off. So was that related to Owen Franks?
Who?
In any way?
Who?
Owen Franks.
Owen Franks. No. We will get into him later. In fact, shall we start off with that game?
As good a place as any.
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Tim? Could you get any rugby coverage over there?
I had to make do with some extended highlights afterwards, so no. I followed it online as best I could, but no, didn't get to watch the whole game where I was.
Right, well, me and Phil watched it together, actually.
We did.
We met up early doors, a bit too early, because the idiots who advertise these things decided to put it as Greenwich Mean Time,
yeah.
When actually it's British Summertime, isn't it? So we were up an hour early.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We were there at 7:30, ready and waiting.
Yeah, exactly. We had to watch like Oz Aerobics, or do you know, like the rubbish shows that they have when they've got no content to put on Sky Sports?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thoroughly disappointing.
Yep.
I don't know where Australia go. I have no answers for them whatsoever.
No. I'd like to say, try some youth.
But where? Who?
Well, I don't know who, because I don't know enough about the Australian kind of Super Rugby teams, but clearly bringing back, obviously Gitto got injured, but AAC, for example, it's not really the answer.
Quade Cooper coming Gitto, back. Gitto, AAC. Reese Hodge looked reasonable.
Well, he kicked a tremendous penalty.
Yes, he did.
Well, hold on before you say it's not the answer. It's easy to say that with hindsight, but
it is.
Would it? I this happens with football a lot, where people go, "Oh, bring in the youth, get the youth in, get all the kids in." But actually, no, just pick the best players you've got available, and
yeah, but
then you know, bring the new guys in bit by bit. And I don't know what's happened in a year since the World Cup final, but the wheels have come off.
I'll tell you what, the defence is horrific. I mean, me and Phil must have rewound one particular defensive play. I think it was for the first try, and it was just a car crash. It was worse than a car crash. They've got Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore, I'm sorry, he has to retire. I mean, maybe one last hurrah in the World Cup, that would have been fine, but he's just so off the pace.
He doesn't look either 100% fit, or there's something not right there.
But refs
also
hate him. You know, there's something about his personality which doesn't endear him to either his own players, because you know, we've all heard about the kind of Brumbies Waratahs split, and also refs just don't want to know what Stephen Moore has to say.
It's because he's not wearing an all-black number 7 shirt.
That is probably a good point.
I'll tell you what I think what highlights the difference in Australia as much as anything is looking at Michael Checker, whereas this time last year he seemed cool, calm and collected, and like he was the one playing the mind games and pulling the strings. Now he's just
how the tide
he's
has
a rabbit
turned,
in
eh?
the headlights now, isn't he?
He's clutching at straws for excuses for his to not blame his players, which is fine, not blaming the players. But there's times when you've got to just put your hands up and say we weren't good enough, and he's scratching around for excuses about the referees and these clandestine meetings between the All Blacks and Romain Poix.
Well, how about this then? I was listening to Green and Gold today just before this podcast.
Yeah.
And on their podcast, they said Australia had given away on average 33 points per game since the Scotland semi-final. That's enormous.
Oh, well, yeah, because they've played England three times and New Zealand twice.
Three times. World Cup final.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry, World Cup final. Yeah.
There you are. I mean, they're in a tailspin.
But so you mentioned before the defensive play for the first try. We rewound that several times, and there was maybe five players at fault in the Australian team, all either in the wrong position or making the wrong decision, or both in some cases. And it's now part of it is just how quick and slick the New Zealand ball was. But even so, there was a three or four man overlap for that try because of the Australians didn't realign. They took the wrong man and they were just completely out of position. The spacing was all over the show.
Yeah.
It's basic.
Do you think defences are going to have to evolve? And they're going to have to go away from the idea of shutting people out like has been, historically good defences would do, to a kind of model where it's just damage limitation and actually you need to spend less time coaching defence and more time coaching attack? Because if you want to beat New Zealand, you've got to outscore New Zealand.
I would say no. I'd like to hear your opinion on that, Tim.
No, I think... Yeah, I kind of agree. I think no. I don't think it's moving the dial of the spectrum wildly one way or the other. I think...
Well, let's look at
The thing that New Zealand do well is, and I think this all comes from the fact their players are brought up not gym monkeys, they're intelligent rugby players. They know how to make the right decisions at the right time with or without the ball.
Okay, that's interesting. But let's look at the body of evidence. We've got four out of five New Zealand teams reaching the playoffs of the Super Rugby. You've got the New Zealand national team just devastating others. I mean, Wales are renowned for their defence. They've got probably the Lions defence coach on their staff, or at least one of the most highly regarded defensive minds that there are in Sean Edwards. And on top of that, you've got a New Zealander in Pat Lam. Is he New Zealander? He probably isn't. But he plays a Super Rugby style over in Connacht, and they've just won the Pro 12 with the least talented squad, you might say.
But so, I don't see how that links to ignoring defence and focusing on attack. Because one very good point, the Hurricanes and New Zealand themselves, the Hurricanes in the knockout stage of Super Rugby didn't concede a try. Mm-hmm. New Zealand in their last two games against Australia haven't conceded a try. So the defence is all important.
I like your logic, but you've got a slight flaw in it.
Go on.
Well, New Zealand aren't playing New Zealand. And Hurricanes, I think, didn't play... Did they play New Zealand opposition?
They beat the Chiefs, yeah.
And was there a try conceded there? No. They didn't concede a single try.
So, I've got a sort of something from football that I can relate to this. Because
40?
I was reading a book while I was away about the Danish football team of the 80s, mm-hmm. which I have, like, my earliest memories of football are of that kit, the Hummel kit, and that team. And
now, is this the team that were entered into the Euros without actually earning it and won
the
thing?
Well, no. So the team of the 80s had all these incredible players, like this golden crop of players that played such incredible attacking football, and one of the most memorable teams of any World Cup, and they hammered Uruguay 6-1 in the 86 World Cup. And anyway, they went on to become a bit of a cult team, put up there right alongside some of the best teams ever, and they said they should have won it, but they never won anything, whereas the team in 92 were a completely different side, had no stars, were pragmatic, played on the counter-attack and won a tournament. And I think that will always kind of be the way that you're more likely to get a team that has an incredible defence and can kind of maybe have a kicker who will win a World Cup rather than a team that plays incredible attacking rugby.
Yeah, so tune in next week for part two of the Danish Football Podcast.
Yeah, but I just think in rugby that will always be the case. If you had to say, if a team other than one of the big guns was going to win a World Cup, it'll be a massive pack and a 10 with a dead-eye kick, some incredible backs.
Yeah,
I want you to be right. I do want you to be right, because I love watching a solid defence. I'd love to think that maybe a Saracen-style team could do it. But I just, nothing so far has looked like they can even come close to the Super Rugby that is played in New Zealand or the international rugby that they've played. Nothing's even come close.
Yeah, I don't think that's just defence. It's everything, isn't it? It's just...
Well, no, I think that this attacking, this massive amounts of width on the field, I think that is what's causing so many points to be scored. So if you want to beat them, you're going to have to outscore them. There's going to have to be some new thinking.
It'll be very interesting, and unfortunately we've got to wait a full year to see it. But when England do play New Zealand, because you'd say on form they're the two best teams in the world at the moment.
Yep, agreed.
And England with Gustard and Borthwick there, a lot of the Saracens players, Cruis, Itoji, Jamie George, Vunipola, Owen Farrell, with that Saracens defensive, or potentially with that Saracens defensive mentality, whether they can stifle New Zealand and prevent them from exploiting that width.
Tell you what, I would give a lot of money to watch Saracens, taking it seriously, play the Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd love to watch that.
That'd be so good.
And I hope Saracens smother them with the most boring display of pragmatic kicking, 16 phases of defence, not touching the ruck. I just hope all that happens.
But I'll go back to it, and this is why I'm hopeful for England over the next few years. I think what New Zealand have, they have amazing players, but what's the most amazing thing about their players
is the lack of fun.
Yeah, the poor haircuts as well, and in addition to all that, incredible rugby brains. They're just so smart, and I think England's young players coming through are being coached in that fashion, like with real, look at Itoji for one, just a real smart player.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I'm hopeful. I'll tell you a New Zealand player who isn't very smart, but he's very lucky.
Ooh, lucky.
You mentioned it before, Tim.
A New Zealand player who's not lucky.
Owen Frinks.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Let's get onto this then, because this was basically this was one of Michael Checker's, another one of his clutching at straws. So some people thought, and the World Rugby Citing Committee just went, "Nah, nothing to see here. Off you go. You're just whinging about nothing. No gouging there." However, have you seen the new
angle?
I've seen a few angles, and given what I've also seen, if you saw the Chris Ashton on Luke Marshall last year, this is commensurate with that, and therefore deserves a 10-week ban.
Okay, when I first saw it, I thought, no, play on. When the science committee came back and said, no, nothing there, I thought, yeah, good. I'm starting to think maybe it's not good, because you are right, it needs to be consistent.
Yeah.
Luke Marshall, you could go the other way, couldn't you, and say, actually, Ashton shouldn't have been banned.
Or you could say 10 weeks is perhaps disproportionate.
Yes.
But I think you've got to be so careful around the eye area.
Well, I also don't like the idea that, A, it's dangerous. I don't think what he did was dangerous. I hate the people calling things dangerous when they're not dangerous, because it lowers the threshold of danger. I also quite like how it's not gouging, is it? It's contact with the eyes.
Yes.
Right. Let's stick to that definition, because I really hate it when there is contact with the eyes, but people imply gouging. If you are found to be gouging, you get banned for life. There isn't ifs or buts.
It could be a 50 plus week ban. It should be very, very long.
But
contact with the eyes, I can see a reason why you'd have a definite ban, but a proportionate ban.
I don't want a 10-week ban for that. I mean, it was clumsy. You're not sure how much he was. Cause he was seemed to be feeling his way around with the fingers a bit. But
yeah,
no, I don't feel comfortable with a 10-week ban. But I think that there is something to answer for, and it shouldn't have just been palmed off as nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting, Tim. You made the point about World Rugby. World Rugby have actually come out and defended their position, because they say they cannot intervene because it's a Sanzar run competition, so World Rugby have no jurisdiction on this.
I'm sure they do. I mean,
they didn't officially have any jurisdiction in the Six Nations, but they still intervened with the Marla Gypsy Boy issue. Again, inconsistency.
Isn't it just indicative of what an awful world that we've built, right? That you can be dragged before a panel and banned and be shamed for saying things, whereas contact with the eyes, which is more serious, by the way, contact with the eyes is more serious, even though I do not think it's serious, requires no punishment whatsoever. The act of potential physical harm results in nothing. Brilliant. Well, yeah. Well done, guys. Be proud of yourself.
Yes. So it's... I don't know.
I don't like getting into all the bloody intricacies of this law, that governing body says this and that. I know you're right, consistency and everything.
I know. It is. Yeah. But it's... I mean, you had two games on Saturday that were refereed completely inconsistently with one another. I mean, in the Argentina-South Africa game, Mahodji, the number 7 blindside flanker for South Africa, put in 3, 4, 5 high shots that went unpunished. And the one that ultimately sent Hernandez off was probably the only one that was actually legal. It was very clumsy, but it was a clash of heads. But there was multiple other high shots, two of which were also on Hernandez. And it just wasn't policed properly.
Yeah. Did you watch that game?
I did.
Did you watch it live?
I did. I watched it all live, yeah.
I've watched that game and I can't remember a single minute of it.
Oh, do you not remember the first try?
I can't remember it being good.
Oh, what a try!
The Argentinian...
Tukele. Oh, what a try.
I remember it being good, but I can't remember how it was scored or anything. I don't know what was wrong with me.
That could be...
Concussion?
Maybe it was concussion. That could be try of the season. Or certainly try of the Rugby Championship. It was brilliant.
Wow.
And then the Francois Lowe...
Backdoor offload.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that one.
Francois Lowe thinking he's Rangy Chase.
Proving he is a Rangy Chase.
Well, no, he's not as much of a liability as Rangy Chase off the field.
Oh, we forgot to mention, by the way, previously, we had some people suggesting the name because we've got the Bledisloe Cup between Australia and New Zealand. And we said there should be a name for South Africa v Argentina, and it should be meat-related, beef-related, and high stakes, spelt steak, STEAKS.
What's wrong with that spelling?
The high stakes cup was the best suggestion, and also works because the games are often played at altitude in South Africa.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good.
Did you come up with that?
Oh, I can't remember the name. I will get back to you on the name of the person who tweeted at Rugby Podcast with that.
Well, Salta, where they were playing, is 3,700 feet above sea level, playing in Argentina. So, yeah, high stakes it is. Very good.
Yeah. Argentina are definitely the old France.
Yeah.
Oh, I love them. I love them. I'm looking at their team and they don't make sense in a lot of ways. Like Tukele. I worked at Sale and he was just like a backup fullback for them. Matera, backup for the Tigers. They now look awesome. Issa, what a number 8. What a guy.
But the thing is,
22 years of age.
They haven't looked awesome in Super Rugby. I mean, they've pulled it together. I wonder if South Africa are just not very good.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when they do play Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, I hope South Africa are good. I hope that Argentina are genuinely good enough to beat a damn good South Africa team, and South Africa go and smash
Australia,
New Zealand. Actually, I'll say
that would open.
The South Africa I worry about. Faf was all over the shop. Diolande is a total one trick pony, and centres can't get away with being that anymore. I think they are average.
Yeah.
Do you know what? There's no apparently. Reading on Twitter today, Johan Janzi von Rensburg.
Yes.
Will not be involved with the. With the next game. He's been released to play Curry Cup or something.
Really?
Yeah, joke. Absolute joke.
That's a shame.
Best centre in the world. There you are, said it.
He's not far off.
Yeah, but not good enough for South Africa. I wonder if it's a quota thing.
I wouldn't like to say.
No. So, yeah, at this point, I hope that South Africa can be good. I really do.
It's interesting that in the Argentina game, they only narrowly won in the last minute, but they felt like the better team for most of the contest.
Mm.
And they probably had at least 3 players who would have been close to being man of the match. I mean, Issa that you just mentioned, Tim, was absolutely sensational.
Is that spelled Issa?
ISA, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
He could be the first name on a team sheet of a kind of a financial advisors.
Yeah. Financial Instruments 15, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a think about that for another time, perhaps. But the two scrum halves who both played, Landajo and Kubeli.
Right, which one's Grumbies? Kubeli?
Kubeli, who came
in. And Landarco is Landajo.
Yeah. Well, so they didn't pick any of the European-based players. So...
They just picked the Argentinian playboys.
By choice. So this was pretty much the Jaguares plus Kubeli, who came in from the Brumbies.
Yeah, I don't like the logic there. We're not going to pick any of the European guys. The Australian guy can play. That's no problem.
Yeah, it was apparently a decision by the Argentinian staff.
I'm going to say something which is a little bit, not close to the edge, but I think it needs addressing. Kubeli played on the weekend, and he's got a shaved head, rightly so, because he plays on the same team as Leofano, right?
Yeah.
It's a nice gesture. We can all agree on that.
It is.
Yeah, and didn't Pocock and a few of the Aussies do it?
Pocock, Tamua, Genya.
Nice gesture, yeah. Nice gesture. Do you know what isn't a nice gesture?
Are you going to say the Leicester Tigers?
Yeah, it's a little bit disingenuous, isn't it, to say Richard Cockerell, 15 years ago, went bald for Matt Tamua, and then goes in the picture.
And Dan Cole.
Dan Cole is another one. I think in Wasps, they've done it. I think
Jimmy Gopperth, Curtly Beal, and a bunch of the other Wasp players. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Simpson is in the picture.
Simpson, that's the one I was thinking of. Like, no, you don't count. You don't count. Shave something else.
Yeah, quite.
It is. It's bordering on offensive, isn't it? Yeah. Here's I've got the Leicester Tigers picture here.
Read out the names.
So, Lachlan McCaffrey, bald. Dan Coles, bald.
Yep.
Mike Williams hasn't shaved his head. JP Peterson, bald. Richard Cockerell, bald. Ellis Genge is in there, who has shaved his head. And I'm not sure who that big lad on the right is.
It simply doesn't count.
Other than shaving his head, got any other Ellis Genge stories, anyone?
None that I want to mention.
Yeah, it's like saying that. It's like saying that men that go in freezing cold plunge pools prior to the ice bucket challenge were doing it for whatever it was, LSS or whatever it was. It's ludicrous. It shouldn't be allowed. In fact, we should airbrush them out of these pictures.
It is the one that got me was the Leicester Tigers picture with, like you said, Mike Williams. He's just got the same haircut with hair on his head that he always has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's anyway, Leicester Tigers, we might as well touch on this while you just mentioned Leicester. Richard Cockerell, as well as, and obviously we send our best to Christian Leofano.
100%.
Family, everyone
absolutely.
Close to him, all the rest of it, obviously. But Richard Cockerell, as well as supporting that, has been disciplining a number of his squad for their part in that recent fracas that happened during a late night visit to McDonald's.
Apparently not.
Not been disciplining them.
You said squad members. Apparently, it's only one member.
Oh, really? Anyone in particular you'd like to name?
I don't have the name. I wasn't given it.
No, I've not been.
But I have spoke to a member of their squad who told me it was nothing more than a biscuit.
I heard it was a cookie.
It was a cookie.
McDonald's
cookie.
They took a cookie without paying. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Well, it does make sense, doesn't it? Because it didn't escalate. You'd have thought, like, if 15 Leicester Tigers players went behind a McDonald's counter and started helping themselves to Big Macs, you'd hear more about it. It'd be very serious.
But the military police were called.
Who would you call? I'd call the UN. The Leicester Tigers are stealing my food. Yeah, good luck with that, mate. Phone the different police department.
It did make me think that we could have a potential fast food 15 for a future podcast with
Matt Dunning,
Schalk Burger, Eric Fry. Just a couple that I thought of. I thought of that just literally before the podcast. So
I see how your mind works,
podcast.
Tim.
Sorry?
I see how your mind works.
Yeah. At Rugby Podcast, Fast Food 15. And let's see if it goes anywhere. Maybe we can do it next week if there's enough.
Indeed. So that was the Leicester thing. I don't think we're going to hear much more about this again.
Nah.
What's more fun? To to occur in a fast food restaurant, confronting Stan Collymore or stealing a cookie. What's your or getting pinned by two bouncers outside a Cardiff McDonald's?
Yes, Mike Phillips.
Yeah.
That old chestnut.
Why don't we?
I like stories like this. I want to hear about. I mean, obviously, you don't condone stealing or anything, but I want to hear the real stories about these players. I want to hear it. I want to hear Danny Cipriani getting knocked over by a bus
I'm going to release like a series of Egg Chasers books. I think the first one is going to be based on incidents inside fast food restaurants and rugby players. I mean, it's a very narrow topic.
Pretty narrow.
But we could do it.
Be a section in the library for that.
Didn't a load of the Claremont players get stabbed in a kebab house last season?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was in a kebab house.
Is it not?
That rings a bell, though.
But they did get stabbed. There's no ways about that. I can name them if you want. It's second row. What's a massive centre? Rougerie.
Aurelien.
He was involved. There was a couple of them. Kebab knife?
Maybe it was a kebab knife.
Yeah, you don't know. That was actually... I think actually it was quite serious at the time.
Yeah. Attack with machetes, knives and swords.
Oh, good Lord. How do they survive?
Deep cuts. Oof. Yeah.
Was that our boy Louis Picamon in that? I forget what team it was. What team was that?
That's Clermont.
Clermont.
He was at
Rougerie, Benjamin Kayser and Julien Pierre.
Oh, that sounds horrible, actually.
Three pretty big boys to be taken
big
on.
Big boys.
Yeah, but not with swords.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, if you've
got a sword.
If you're tooled up.
Yeah, well, maybe they take McDonald's safety a little bit more seriously over in France.
Evidently so. Listen, I thought I'd throw this one in as well. I've done my 1-12 Premiership finishing positions.
Okay.
I know you were talking about the Premiership in yesterday's pod. And
yes, we were.
So I've gone for, and I'll just run down them. Mine differs from yours slightly, JB, the one that I saw you tweeting today. So we agree on 1 Saracens, but then it gets different. 2 Wasps, 3 Northampton, 4 Leicester, 5 Exeter, 6 Bath, 7 Quins, 8 Sale, 9 Gloucester, 9 Gloucester, 10 Worcester, 11 Newcastle, and Bristol for the drop.
Ooh.
Mm.
I'm similar to you, Tim. I would put Wasps just outside the top 4, though.
I don't know about Sale. I think Sale are going to surprise everyone this year. Well, but, no, not me, obviously.
The first draft of your prediction I saw, you had them at 7th. So 8th is hardly ludicrous.
Yeah, I think they'll be higher than that. The problem is, I can't justify dropping Wasps to... Although I think...
Out of the top 4.
Yeah, I think they won't make top 4. I just can't...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Quite do it.
I considered putting Exeter lower. I think
really,
I just have this feeling that the Premiership final is going to be a little high watermark for a few years for Exeter.
Mm. Interesting. See, I have it the other way. I think they can build on that. They've got a talented squad, some great young guys coming through, and guys who are getting more experience of England as well. Guys like Noel, like Slade, like Mullet-Dickey.
It's like I said yesterday. They're just a better version of last year's team. And next year will be a better version of this year's team.
It's just unbelievable how relentless this season is going to be again.
Mm. I'm not even sure if you had an All-Stars team from the remaining 11 teams, whether you could beat Saracens.
Yeah, I'm still not sure.
Oh, is there a way we could do a team where you have to pick someone from every team?
To beat Saracens?
Yeah.
Oh, well, not even to beat Saracens. I was just thinking a team of it, if you had to pick one person from every team, but then you've got three spots left over. God, I'm brainstorming live. I should do this off the pod.
Wow.
And bring some fully formed ideas to the table.
See how the sausage is made, eh? I think you've got Sale too low. And who knows?
Wasps too high.
Who knows about Wasps? Hey,
yeah.
They might prove me wrong. But they might win it.
As we said on the pod yesterday, I think Wasps and Bath, both of them are a little bit unknown just because of the sheer number of changes, coaching and personnel. And
did you see Bath's pre-season Leinster result?
We did. Yes, we discussed it briefly yesterday. Great result away as well.
Mm. But you never know how much to read into those games, but.
Yeah, if they can take that form in, they can do anything.
Who's their first game in film?
Let me have a quick look.
Oh yeah, and by the way, we do know it's a London doubleheader. Apologies for that.
Oh yeah. Yes, referring to Saracens and Quins as bit playing at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoops.
Technically, they're the home side, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm keep an eye out. Me and Ugo will be on the pitch, marauding around. I'll be taking care of the Worcester side of business, and Ugo will be with Saracens.
Say hi to Ugo for me.
Yeah, and me.
I'll do that.
Hi, Ugo, if you're listening.
Bath travelled to Northampton in their first game, so not an easy start. Not an easy start for Bath.
Talupe v. Louis.
Yes, now we remember.
Yes. Yeah, we were a little bit worse for wear yesterday, weren't we, Jay?
Yeah, I've got a very shaky memory of the whole weekend. The fact I can't remember a whole game. I mean, I wasn't even drunk, I just couldn't remember the whole game.
I'll tell you, so I had a bit of a knees up over the weekend last night on my holiday, and I was chatting to this fella who was a Montenegrin guy, and it's a really misogynistic, like, male-dominated kind of place. Like,
okay, I'm in.
Men sit around, do what the hell they want, and just are lazy. This Montenegrin man said Montenegrin men are lazy. Anyway, so there's this joke, which is a really famous
joke
in Montenegro.
Did you say it's a really misogynistic place? Montenegrin men are lazy. Go on.
This guy said we're really lazy, us Montenegrin men. We rule the roost. Anyway. He said the famous Montenegrin joke that they have is, and the joke goes like this. I thought you'd appreciate it. I thought of you, particularly JB, when I heard it. I thought you'd like it. Anyway, he said that there's a man riding on the back of a donkey, and his wife is walking in front of him as he sits on this donkey. When this other stranger comes up and says to the man on the back of the donkey, "Where are you going?" And he says, "We're going to the hospital." And the man says to the guy on the donkey, "Oh, what's wrong with you?" He says, "No, it's not me, it's the missus."
What? Ooh.
You know, oh man.
I like it, Tim. I'm with you.
I cracked up. It must be the way I told it. I cracked up when he told me. I thought it was really funny.
How many pints deep were you at the time?
Yeah, I'd had a few. I'd had a few lozers, they call it. That's like their ouzo. Anyway.
Oh, nice.
It's a good joke. I must just be terrible.
Okay, no. Here's how this is gonna go down, right? You gotta tell that on Virgin tomorrow. But right. You gotta tell it with a straight face, and as if you find it funny.
I do find it funny.
No, but there's no preamble about like being misogynistic. You've just gotta do it.
Oh,
no explanation.
No,
don't apologize, don't explain, just go for it. And say, tweet me at Cocker. Now for polar bear knife fight.
Yep, sure. Anyway, rugby. Sorry.
Rugby.
Where are we up to?
Come on, Phil.
Do you want to briefly touch on the Killian Willis concussion story?
Yes. I heard all this a few weeks ago because I was chatting to a ex-player. And I was also chatting to a guy who works in the legal profession around Manchester, kind of the same way that I do. And as I understand it, this is very serious indeed. In fact, I'm thinking of doing some audio in the next few weeks with a clinical negligence solicitor just to explain exactly what this is for Rugby Dungeon.
Okay.
Now, the reason it's serious is it's not... I don't think it's a case against Sale. It is a case against Steve Diamond himself.
Now that...
So, very, very briefly, just explain the story for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, so player Killian Williams.
Willis.
Before he retired.
That's the one. Was playing a game for Sale. I don't even remember the guy, do you?
Yeah, I remember him. He was kind of a backup, third choice scrum half.
Yeah.
For a couple of years. Came over from...
Ireland?
Yeah.
Leinster.
He played at, I think, Leinster, Ulster and Connacht. But again, never... He was always kind of a squad player.
Yeah, so he's playing, he gets concussed. The medical staff say he's got to come off. And
So he took a head knock. He was playing against Saracens. He took a head knock in the first half.
Uh-huh.
And the medical staff didn't take him on. He then, in the second half, took another head knock. And the medical staff still didn't take him off. And then he eventually did get taken off partway through the second half. But after playing... having suffered two blows
right.
to the head.
So my understanding of this is the medical staff recommended he come off and they were overruled. And it's
Steve Diamond.
By somebody, most likely being Steve Diamond. So I
hear. Yeah, let's be very, very careful. We don't want to be prejudicing a live case. So
well, I don't know what's what. So, you know, that's how I understand it. Now, the interesting thing as well, as they said, it's clinical negligence.
Clinical negligence is the way it's been quoted.
But I don't think that's... I need to clarify this, but I don't think that's correct. Because clinical negligence would be against a clinician.
Well,
I don't think you could be clinically negligent.
Well, Steve Diamond, I don't think, could be clinically negligent.
Yeah. Negligent, sure.
The test for clinical negligence is the Bolam test, which is the same for professional negligence, so it applies to me as a professional in the construction industry. I'm sure it applies to you. Mm-hmm. And it's you have to meet the standard of the reasonable person. So as long as you can demonstrate that you followed guidelines that would have been upheld by a reasonable person or protocol that would have been held by a reasonable person as a medical professional,
yep.
then you can't be... sued for clinical or medical negligence.
So that's where it kind of gets a bit confusing for me. Because they called it clinical negligence, and I understand it to be a case against Steve Diamond rather than the club and the medical staff, well, that wouldn't stack up.
So that wouldn't stack up. What it could be is Steve Diamond does have a duty of care for that player. So
if it is, in fact, that...
It would go under a slightly different legal precedent. But... I would imagine it would be more on the medical staff. Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting part about this as well. The reason it's got legs, the reason it's got legs is because apparently there's witnesses to it, and the witnesses are other players.
Right.
So that's what I understand. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, and again, without knowing full facts, and again, with it being a live case, it's all speculation at the minute. But I suppose what we can draw from it is that this area of head trauma is going to become even more of an issue, not less, despite the safety precautions that have been brought in.
Well, it's interesting because this was back in 2013, before the head injury assessment, the very, very strict protocol that we have now was put in place. So now, providing you follow, as a medical professional, if you follow those guidelines, then I don't think there's any possible way that you could be sued for clinical negligence.
Yes.
Unless you falsified results or something like that, or just did not follow the guidelines. So now, I think it should be relatively clear. But because this was in place, and it's... Because, obviously, head injuries are a little bit subjective, and until you've got these guidelines to follow, it's almost down to the professional and the individual.
Well, they would be using like physios, wouldn't they, to run on and say yes or no?
Yes,
or,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what who a club doctor would be. I think the Sale club doctor who I've met, I think he's a GP by background. So unless he's got some specialty in head trauma.
Well, the England... Well,
this sounds like it could be getting into the area. You know how you get some people who've been caught up in historical cases Yeah. like other radio professionals, let's say, for example, say, oh, it was a different time. It was a different time.
Yeah.
And that hasn't proved to be a successful excuse.
No, it's not.
Oh, those radio professionals.
We have taken some really bizarre twists and turns in this podcast.
I was like, what? Has a radio professional had a high-level court case described on his show? What? Oh, no. No. That's not what they were doing.
Yeah, and it wasn't concussion of a radio professional.
No.
Righty-ho. Yeah, so that's going to... I wonder how many of these historic cases are going to come forward if this was successful and what it's going to mean.
It really could open
up... Well, just things like when... I mean, my brother's retired now, so he probably wouldn't mind me talking about it, but the number of times he used to say that, and he willingly did it, he would take a particularly strong painkiller. I mean, it must have been within legal doses, otherwise they wouldn't have done it, and cortisone injections and things like that, kind of things that could do serious, you could end up doing serious long-term damage. I don't know whether you or teammates of yours ever kind of did similar
things. Well, do you know what? Even at Broughton Park's level, there is a lot of taking pills before a game. Now, I've never seen why anyone would take paracetamol or ibuprofen before a game. I don't think it makes any difference.
If you're really struggling with a shoulder or ankle or something.
Really?
Yeah.
When I did the marathon, they helped me massively. I took them before, during doing it.
So, I've known a lot of played with lads who've had painkilling injections directly before a game.
No, really?
Yeah. I think it's really standard, JB. I think it's really, really common.
I know it's very common in the States because there's so many ex-players who are hooked on, you know, codeine-based drugs. I've not heard of it so much in the UK, and I'm surprised I haven't.
Yeah, it does. It does happen.
Sorry, codeine-based. Is it codeine?
Codeine is opioid.
Yeah,
painkiller.
So, no, I've never seen that.
Yeah, it does happen, definitely.
And if pressure is put on by coaches to encourage someone to do that and go through that pain barrier, and they end up maybe not even from a playing point of view, but you know, you have ex pros who have can't sleep well because they have shoulder pain or joint. I wonder.
That is rather interesting, Tim.
Mm.
Other rather interesting stuff. Do you know Ollie Lindsay-Hague has left Harlequins?
Yep.
Olympic silver medalist Oliver Lindsay-Hague.
Seems like a weird time to leave, doesn't it?
It does a bit. It probably reflects he wants to be higher up the pecking order. So he's obviously, I'd probably say he's fifth choice back three player.
Behind?
Brown, Visser, Yard, and Charlie Walker played ahead of him last year.
And I think with seven stuff as well, because you're out of the team for so long. I mean, Ollie Lindsay-Hague's a good player. He's obviously very fast. He plays sevens.
Yeah.
But when I see him, he is quite exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see exactly what he does, whether he goes... Well, if I was him, I'd do what Carl Ferns did and go to one of the top teams in Pro Division 2 in France.
Why?
Looking for big payday.
Yeah.
Good lifestyle.
Okay.
And you've got the potential to go back into the top 40.
Well, do you know what I think of Ollie Lindsay-Hague? I think he is the stereotypical player that you get from Harlequins. Lots of gas, lots of skill, lots of speed, not very much substance. And I wonder how well that sort of player would actually do in France, where you need the opposite. Loads of substance.
Have you seen the Geoaplon try from this weekend?
No.
That's a good demonstration of... gas, pace, perhaps not the biggest bloke.
No, he's tiny, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And Nguenya had his moments for Biarritz.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he does surface. Because he is a talented player if he gets the right amount of game time.
You mentioned the Olympics. Did you see that Ben Ryan got the highest order that you can get... As if in Fiji,
and he's got some land,
and 3 acres of land.
3 acres.
Basically, he's treated like pretty much he's royalty.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Iron Lion Ryan.
I want. What can you do with that land? Is it grazing land? Is it? I mean, I guess it's not, you know, development land.
Definitely, I think with for him, it would be he'd get some shade up straight away so he could sit under that. He wouldn't deal well with the sunshine for sure. But he says Ben Ryan said he's had 20 job offers.
Wow! Already.
From where? I mean, there's not even 20 teams that play sevens, is there? Are they all job offers from like?
I was coached by him in 15s.
Were you?
Yeah, when he was at Newbury.
Why didn't you ever mention it?
I'll make sure I do more, JB.
Okay, 20 job offers. I just wonder, are they real? Not are they real job offers. Are they job offers as we expect them, like to coach Harlequins or whatever it is? Or is it like Butcher in Fiji? Twenty Fiji-based jobs. That's what I imagine that he's being offered. Yeah.
I reckon there'll be international rugby teams that probably have said, come and coach us.
Because not as the head coach, but as a skills coach or a backs coach.
Mm.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I think the other thing he's proved, he's a man of commitment. He moved out to Fiji, which I didn't appreciate. And not very many of these coaches, international coaches, move out. The coach of Georgia is the first, well, for the World Cup, was the first ever Georgia coach to move to Georgia to coach them.
Really?
Yeah, they all do it, like, remotely. Even Warren Gatland only spends 6 months of the year in Wales. The rest of it, he's back in New Zealand somewhere. Yeah.
Breaking both his feet.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where Ben Ryan does go. Because he could go to a Premiership team as the backs coach or skills coach.
Definitely.
Or even higher, even an international team, like a Tier 2 international team.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, he definitely won't
Tier
be sure
2 international it. Sounds right to me.
Yeah.
It does. But there again, he's got such a background in sevens now. I can't help but think it's going to be sevens.
But where else do you go? He's had the England job. He's had arguably the two best jobs.
Did he win the World Series with England?
He might. I don't know. Maybe.
He definitely won some big high profile tournaments. Hong Kong Sevens a couple of times. And he's won the Olympic gold. I mean, yeah, I think it's stepping back up to 15s for him now. So
Yeah, I think so. He's done everything there is to do in sevens.
Yeah. Do you know who else has been offered a new job and accepted?
Not you.
Not me. Stuart Hooper.
Oh, Stuart Hooper.
I think maybe as I told you about 9 months ago.
Didn't he tell us he's going to be director of rugby? And he's actually,
well, I wasn't far off.
And
was
he's
I?
Actually being groomed whilst grooming kids to
he's,
be.
Yeah, he's director of the kids rugby.
Yeah. Director of kids rugby. Is that what you meant when you said director of rugby?
Well, it was a pretty outlandish thing to have said even before he announced he was retiring. Let's not forget.
Yeah, it's massively outlandish. It never happened. We take your point. He is clearly AMR for something, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Him up for something. Even if it's just a senior role within Bath at director level, he's clearly going places.
Yes. And I think he could have got a job elsewhere, but he loves that blazer and mustard chinos.
Absolutely.
He wasn't going anywhere.
Apparently he's one of Stuart Lancaster's favourite players. That isn't a joke, he really is from the Leeds days.
Ah, Leeds, of course.
Yeah, that's where he did all
his... He was his captain, wasn't he? He was Leeds' youngest ever captain. That was before Lancaster, wasn't it?
No, that was during the Lancaster reign.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, because I'm sure when they went down, that's when Bath signed him. And, you know, Lancaster took him down. He took him up, but then he took him down after winning only two games. But, you know me, I don't like to talk too much about Stuart Lancaster, so we'll leave it there.
For the record, Ben Ryan never won the World Series with England. He finished third three times. And before he came in, Fiji had only won 1 out of 15 tournaments.
Wow.
1 out of 50 World Series, the annual event, mm-hmm. and they've won the last two, followed by, obviously, the Olympics.
Well, sometimes it's just combinations as well.
Hell of a record.
So, yeah, good for him.
What else have you got on your agenda, Phil?
Not a huge amount. It was a very, very brief agenda that I wrote.
Well, I will say, have you seen the Richie McCaw statue?
I've not seen the statue. I read a great interview with him in The Guardian last week.
Genuinely a really good one.
Yeah, it was. It was. genuinely
one,
very good.
One guy that I worked, I've worked with in the past, is a mate of mine. He was the boss of Richie McCaw's girlfriend because he used to date this radio breakfast show host in New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Who said that? She said she had to break up with him because he was the dullest man on earth. He obviously looked great. He was a good-looking chap and all the rest of it, but he was painfully dull. But I suppose maybe you don't get that incredibly good unless you're that focused.
If you want to be the best,
yeah,
you've got to make some sacrifices.
Exactly, yeah. That. Yeah. He would never have a beer. He up and he did 20 miles on a bike on Christmas Day morning before breakfast.
That sounds like tremendous fun.
Sounds like you, yeah. JB.
It does sound like me. It sounds very similar.
But the statue that's been put up, I'll just say it's not an exact likeness.
Is it him?
That's all I'll say.
What is it? Him cheating at a ruck?
It's him
going in from the side.
Textbook. And just yeah, exactly.
Going in from the side, but the ref's still giving him the penalty.
Yeah. Obstruction. What's it? Richie McCaw.
If you can Google it, just have a look at the picture. It looks more like Ross Abbott in
Oh my God. Timely reminder, Ross Abbott.
So the artist describes it as not an exact likeness.
The artist?
No.
Wow.
It's definitely not an exact likeness, I can confirm.
Oh no.
Oh, wait, there's a vote. I'm on stuff.co.nz. Does this statue look like Richie McCaw? Let me vote. I'm going to say no. Does this statue look like Richie McCaw? 4% yes, 96% no.
Wow. That's when you know you're not successful at carving or whatever that is, sculpting.
Yes. Mm. Wow.
I've said it a million times before, but this is what they've done wrong with Kvezic. So they wasted Kvezic's talent. I don't think he's any less player than, say, whoever else England are going to play at seven. But if they'd worked with him, and if they'd got him the reputation, if we'd had a big media conspiracy to say, Matt Kvezic knows the breakdown better than anyone.
Yeah.
And we wrote positive things about him in the media and spoke about him in the media, he would be the next Richie McCaw.
It's propaganda. We need RFU propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Promoted.
Because that's all that Richie McCaw did, right?
And that's basically what's happened to Mario Todgi.
Yeah.
As soon as you start the propaganda ball rolling, then everyone gets on board with it. And now he literally can't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
He cheats all the time at the rooks and he gets all the decisions.
No, his hands are on it. Well, his hands are on it first. It's Mario Todgi. Mario Todgi knows exactly what he's doing.
Exactly.
Says so in the Telegraph. So that's
I've just got to the same website you're on, by the way, with the Richie McCaw statue. And on the comments below, I think some people have pointed out, they just said, I didn't know Donald Trump played rugby. And that he looks like...
Ross Abbott.
Butthead.
Beavis.
Butthead from Beavis and Butthead.
I love the fact that you said Ross Abbott.
I used to watch... I don't know where that came from.
I used to watch Ross Abbott as a kid. You used to find him hilarious.
Yeah, almost as funny as that joke I told earlier.
The Rich McCaw interview in The Guardian was in anticipation of the upcoming film Chasing Great.
That's it.
The Richie McCaw story.
Oh no. Really?
Yeah, which documents his last couple of years as a player.
Wow.
So it's exclusive access. It'd be interesting to
see. Oh, it's a documentary?
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Right, it's not going to be made by Peter Jackson or anything.
No, it's not like Invictus with Matt Damon playing Richie McCaw.
I think Matt Damon would make a good Richie McCaw.
His accents have left a lot to be desired, and we've already established how difficult...
The best Richie McCaw, Kiwi, just because I want to see him running, Steven Seagal. running to breakdowns. Also, Tom Cruise has a funny running style.
He does have a funny running style.
And also, that's the one I want to see, Tom Cruise, because when they film it, he's such a small man, they'd have to get other people who look proportionately big, very small.
Well, if anyone's watched the Jack Reacher film, I've read most of the Jack Reacher books. Jack Reacher is 6'5" and 250 pounds, like 17, 18 stone.
Yeah, same dimensions as me.
So they film the Jack Reacher film with Tom Cruise, He walks through a bar and he's the tallest man in that bar. I want to go to that bar.
Yeah, but more importantly, how much are they spending on set creation? Yeah, yeah, lower that bar by how much? 5 inches. I make that glass 8% smaller.
So, yeah, maybe Tom Cruise then.
I think Matt Damon. I think Matt Damon just looks more like a rugby player. And also, Matt Damon's got fine rugby pedigree. He plays rugby in The Departed.
The Departed, yeah, for the Boston Police Force.
Yeah. And he's played, yeah. So, yeah, done.
Okay, done.
Talking of done, is this done yet? Shall we go home?
I think that's probably a good idea.
Tim, anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, let me just have a little look. I won't bother with that joke. or that joke. Just finally then, because this has become a talking point.
No, I've got something which I want to mention.
Go on.
Well, we've got to mention them, right? Like we should have mentioned about 5 minutes ago. But our new sponsor, Beer 52.
Oh, yes.
Now, are you familiar with Beer 52? Tim?
Beer 52, I'm very, very aware of Beer 52, JB.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because, like, we've got a sponsor who's looked after us for all this time in Cornerstone, which is, you know, for people that don't have beards. Well, this is a sponsor for exactly the opposite sort of person, who do have beards. In fact, if you're a trendy hipster, Beer 52 is exactly what you need. But here's a nice thing, Tim. It's not just for hipsters, like I originally thought. What you do is they select all the beers from around the world. They will send you a box, and in that box you will pick what you like, what you don't like. And as the new boxes arrive each and every month, your beer order fits your taste, so you don't have to be some neckbeardy hipster with a beret on.
Yeah, this is what I like about it, you know, because I like craft beers and trying beers and stuff, but I don't want to go and have to pick them all and swap on it. Just the thought of being sent, there you go, while you're having that barbecue or when you're sitting down this Sunday to watch a rugby match, there you go, there's a beer, cold one straight out the fridge from somewhere in the world that you would never have drunk if you hadn't tried Beer 52. Bosh.
Exactly. Now, Tim, I speculated yesterday that you would have a lot of fun if I told you that Phil's favourite beer, or one of his favourite, is a beer called Salty Kiss. So I just want to know what your view on Phil drinking Salty Kisses.
It doesn't surprise me. but yes. That's made me very happy, and I've already got some Photoshop thoughts of what I can do with that. Oh, dearie me. It sounds like it should be a punishment or something.
It's delicious, all right, Tim.
Something Christian Grey would have instigated.
Exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
Mine, I have to say, I love, and I've completely forgotten the name of it now, but there's... Cooper's Aussie beer is
okay,
very,
nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Oh, particularly the and the white label, what's that Icelandic beer?
No idea, mate. I just make up names. Molested. Yeah.
Einstock.
Yeah, when I first got hold of this sponsor, I thought this is going to be great. I'm just going to make up names like Molesting Bishop or Raving Dog and see where we go from there. But and by the way, I've had your beers too. But all you need to do is go to beer52.com, and if you use the code RUGBY10, you get £10 off when you first sign up.
Excellent.
Oh, this is a no-brainer then, right?
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Exactly right. And I want to see...
What was that code again? So you go to what website, JB?
Beer52.com.
Yeah.
And it's RUGBY10.
RUGBY10.
Exactly right. I'm going to send them an email recommending what beers JB would have to watch the rugby. So you can be just like me when you decide to watch the rugby.
Which, do you know what? We could do a perfect... You know how that you have, like, when there's food and then places will... When you have a tasting menu, they'll go, here's this food and here's a wine for you to try with it. We should maybe pick a match each week.
That's exceptional.
And pick a beer that goes with that match. Maybe it's this one's a... We need a heavy-bodied one because Louis Picamol's quads are going to be on show.
Oh, that is a very good idea. And we'll have to try his beers first, of course. Well, yeah.
Of course.
Well done. Well done, Tim.
Yeah. I just finally want to say, obviously, as you would, to watch the Aviva Premiership, BT Sport this weekend. I'll be there, Twickenham doubleheader. So if you haven't already, get BT Sport because it's well good, isn't it?
Well,
so there
good.
You go.
Yep. It is very good.
Excellent. Right, I think we all finished now.
We are done.
Just one quick mention.
Yep.
The Egg Chasers Meters Made League on www.statbacker.com. Go in there. When you sign up, you get 15% off Huge Rugby, as well as if you deposit £10, you get £5 off, and you get to challenge me and all of our listeners and prove that you know more about rugby than I do.
This is the biggest scam ever. It's the biggest scam. You've basically got it stitched up. If you don't win,
I have not got anything.
If you don't win,
up.
It's only because you're setting a trap for later on down the line. When
yeah,
do win
he's
bigger.
Playing the long con.
I'm hustling people.
Yeah.
I'm not. I won't win.
I won't win. All right, mate. Sure. All right. I think we're done, boys.
Nice.
Perfect.
See you later, Tim. In fact, we will catch you on Sunday.
Yes.
And I assume you'll be live tweeting from the games as well, so you won't be completely out of the loop.
Yeah, so on Sunday itself, it should be a good one, actually. Wasps, Exeter, I'll be there before shooting back to pod with you.
Oh, excellent.
The life of others. Right, and see you later, Phil.
Cheers, JB.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.